Hey Gators and sports fans, get all your Gator talk, news, analysis, and opinions on the Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning podcast. Find us on your favorite podcast platform or watch us on Facebook Live between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. every weekday. Pod Up, because we are Gator fans. So say, it's great to be a Florida Gator.
Good morning. Welcome to a Wednesday edition of the program. It's Matthews in the Morning
from
Crime Prevention Security System Studios, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. It's Wednesday. That means we're going to be joined by JC here momentarily. In the second portion of the day, we're going to talk Tennessee Volunteers with longtime sports writer, radio host Jimmy Hines up in Knoxville, Tennessee, talking Big Orange football. But before that, we're going to go and we're going to talk to JC and see what he can bring to the program today.
Big Orange football, man. I mean, the 90s.
Time for Tennessee football.
Tennessee football. And then when I don't know who the play-by-play guy was, but when Tennessee scored a touchdown, he'd go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 in the end zone. Who was that?
That would be
touchdown, Tennessee.
John Ward.
Yes. Okay. Very good.
Speaking of that, they're doing one of those 30 for 30s on all the old school SEC commentators.
Announcers. Yeah. I hope. Did they include Otis Boggs? Did
you see watched it. It hadn't come out yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Well, Otis Boggs was the guy I grew up with as the voice of the Gators. The problem with Otis was, and we loved him, by God, but when a ball carrier was at the 40-yard line, the next thing you heard, he was at the 10. But Florida didn't score many touchdowns in the 70s, but they did have a few. There's no doubt about it. But Tennessee's glory days, certainly in the 90s, and, you know, Florida-Tennessee, that was the rivalry in the Southeastern Conference. We had, QB 12 teams in the league at that time, only six. I don't know. We had 12 teams in the league. Tennessee, Florida.
Well, even when we went to 14, it was Florida-Tennessee was the game that mattered.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that was the one that, 98 was their year. They had a lot of good years. Peyton Manning, though, could not beat Florida. Danny Werfel could not lose to Tennessee. And, every year they expected to win that game and beat the Gators, and the Gators seemed to get the upper hand for the most part. So, But they did get a couple wins over Florida that were memorable. But for the most part, it was Florida's rivalry. They had the upper hand. And Tennessee has really hit hard times, as we know, with hiring coaches. Kind of like Florida, to tell you the truth, in the last 12 years, hiring coaches up until they got the one they have now. So, these two programs have gone through some long periods of time where they've just not won a conference championship. I mean, I thought about this the other day. The Gators haven't been to Atlanta. I mean, they haven't won a conference championship since 2008.
Right.
Tennessee, I guess it was 2001 or 0 or something. I don't even remember.
No, it was Tennessee. In the 90s. I think it was when they won the national title. It was the year they won the national title.
I thought they beat LSU in one SEC championship game, but in the 2000s, I might be wrong, but it was a long, long time ago. And some folks say, well, why do these programs go on these long stretches of decline? And what is the problem? And recruiting and coaching and what's bigger? Is it coaching? Is it recruiting? Well, they're both intertwined. And so I certainly think Tennessee has gotten a good one now. I think they finally found a coach, I think, who knows how to score points and knows what to do to win football games. He's done it before. Florida, of course, has Dan Mullen. So he's certainly had a lot of success. And I think both programs are on the upside.
Let me ask you this question, JC. What makes you think Josh Heupel will be a better coach at Tennessee than Scott Frost has been at Nebraska?
Well,
just ask.
It's a good question. It is. I think, honest to goodness, I just think it is easier. And I this may be wrong, but since you just asked me off the cuff, I think Josh Heupel will have an easier time recruiting at Tennessee and getting certain players that maybe Scott Frost wouldn't be able to get up there in Nebraska, only because Tennessee's in the SEC. And the SEC is a very attractive conference for guys to want to win championships and play football. I'm not saying the Big Ten isn't either. They certainly are. But Nebraska is – it's Nebraska. And certainly there was a time when it was Nebraska's world, right? That was a long time ago too. And so I don't know if you can say one will do any better than the other. I just do think that Josh Heupel will be able to use some of his contacts maybe in Florida, get some players that Nebraska otherwise wouldn't get. Scott Frost has the same contacts. I don't know. I just think that the Heupel will do better. I look at Nebraska, and I was impressed with the way they played against Oklahoma the other day, but I'm starting to think that might be a function of the idea that Oklahoma isn't the Oklahoma that Baker Mayfield played for, or teams like or Kyler Murray played for. I don't think they're as good. I don't know. I might be wrong. They could be, but I would guess Tennessee. You know, and that brings me to a question or a thing that I just thought about yesterday. You know, I was watching Buddy Martin, who I deeply respect and who I think is one of the best in the business, certainly one of the most revered in terms of journalism and so forth. But I was incredulous yesterday when he said on your show that recruiting isn't the biggest thing. To me, that is the biggest thing for college football teams to maintain and win. Now, certainly today with the transfer portal, NIL, and things of that nature, it's different. But recruiting is everything, if you ask me, and that is why I think Florida has slipped in the last 12 years. That is why Clemson has only lost 6 games in 5 years. Alabama has only lost 5 games in the last 5 years. Ohio State's only lost 7 games in the last 5 years before this season. All right, those teams have recruited better than anyone else. Georgia recruits as well as anybody, and they are absolutely one of the better teams in the country and have been for the last 5 years. Recruiting is the thing, and you have to be able to get the right guys.
And that's why we've been behind in recruiting, because we didn't have the facilities everybody else had.
Well, that's certainly one of the reasons, but I also don't
think a year and a half will be on an even playing field.
Well, okay, that's great. And then you get the players you want, hopefully. And you know, Florida can get to where Florida wants to be. Florida wants to be a championship team on an elite level and compete for championships year in and year out and be in the conversation at the end of the year. That's the only way you can do it, folks, is if you get the Jimmies and the Joes. It's always mm-hmm. going to be up to the players at the end of the day. If coaching is great, and coaching is important, and coaching is great for scheming and so forth and teaching and developing, and I get all that. But the players have to be able to do it on the field on Saturday. And yeah, this is why look at Bryce Young. Kid walks down here, didn't play hardly at all last year, hasn't played really anybody competitive, walks into one of the toughest environments in college football, 6 miles away from me right here, and performs admirably, 300 yards, of total
he
offense.
He didn't throw for 300 yards, JC.
No. They had 300 yards of offense. Uh-huh. And he didn't have to throw for 300 yards. He had 3 touchdown passes, though, QB, and he didn't throw any picks, okay? This guy did the job, and that's why Alabama won the game, was because of Bryce Young. So I think that, in his first game on the road in a tough environment, I don't know what else you could have expected out of that kid. Why did they get him from California? So recruiting is everything. I'm sorry. I would respectfully disagree with our friend Buddy that recruiting has to be the biggest thing to get these teams to win
championships. Yeah, I got a Facebook Live here from Brandon, brought to you by Mellon Law. He says, sometimes I feel Mullen uses his evaluation motto as an excuse when 5 stars don't come to Gainesville. Let me say it one more time. We have not been on the same level playing field. Now, I'm not even going to bring up the top teams. I'm talking Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Kentucky, mm-hmm. Tennessee. I can go on and on. We are not even close from a facility standpoint. So until we have that facility built, nobody can bitch and complain, in my opinion. We got a text on the Titan Mark text line. It comes from Darrow. It says, good morning, guys. What does Tennessee have on offense that could cause problems for Florida's defense? That would be called tempo, going extremely fast. Same offense. Hendon Hooker, I would think, would be your quarterback. I think he's a much better player than Joe Milton. They will move the football. They will gain a bunch of yards. Hopefully, they'll get some penalties, some turnovers. But, yeah, they can cause some problems with their tempo.
Even with, But with all that being said, they can't stop anyone, and that's why they're
You know, they're like number five in America in stopping the run.
Well, they're going to get a chance to improve that rating Saturday. I don't think that's going to happen. I think after Saturday, they won't be number five in the nation stopping the run. And yeah. So, look, Pittsburgh didn't run the football on them. All they did was just throw it everywhere. So, and Pittsburgh won. They beat Tennessee. So Tennessee's improving. They are. But I don't know if they're it'll be a fun game to watch for Gator fans. Let's just go there, because Tennessee is a rival, even though Florida's beaten them an awful lot here in the last 10, 20 years. But it's a school that Gator fans love to beat. I mean, you go up to Tennessee, they hate you, right? So when you play them at your joint, you're happy to send them back on an 8-hour drive, miserable, the ones who venture down here anyway. And so this is a big one, man. This is a big game. Listen, Florida has no room for error now. If they want to play for championship for the first time in years and years and years, they got to win this game, and you got to go
for championship last year, JC.
Well, I mean, you're right. You did. But I think Florida has no chance of winning a championship this year if they don't beat Tennessee, right? So
that's the best point you've ever made. Because
if we lose, we're done. Not I've ever made. Well, I think my recruiting point is quite good. I'd say my recruiting point gets 5 stars or whatever the viewers point on the screen there, because that's why teams win.
Turn your car or truck into a rolling billboard for your business or brand with an eye-catching vehicle wrap from Wrap Spot. This September, Mitchell promo code Shane received 13% off your vehicle wrap. Speaking with JC on the Titan MR hotline, we're going to be joined by a longtime writer and sports talk host, Jimmy Himes, up in Knoxville. Talk about the Balls. JC, I got a trivia question. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Here's the trivia question.
Okay.
There are 10 schools in Division I athletics that have won an NCAA title in football and men's basketball. Can you name them?
There's 10. Well, no, but I can say Florida's certainly we know is one.
Florida's one.
Why can't I get this? Make it easier for me. Why can't I?
Okay, I'll give you a hint.
Top of my head.
I'll give you some hints.
I should be able to get at least 5 of these.
Just listen. I'm gonna give you some hints.
Okay.
Four of the 10 are in the Big Ten. Uh-huh. There's 3 Pac-12s, 2 SECs, and 1 ACC.
I'm going to say Michigan.
Michigan is one.
Michigan? Okay. I'm going to say – and you said there was 4 in the Big Ten?
Yeah.
Well, Michigan State?
Yep.
Oh, that was an old win. Okay, that's good. I got 3. And UCLA?
Yep.
Okay, that's 4. And the way I'm thinking about this is, are the ones that won the basketball championship and then at some point in the past won the football championship. How about Notre Dame?
No.
Nope, okay. Well, I got 4 of them, so throw out the more obvious ones that I'm missing. Arizona? Okay. No, not that. It's ridiculous.
So here we go. We're not going to sit here all day and have you guess.
Well, just tell me. Well, I got 4 of them, so go ahead off the top of my
head. Well, the Big Ten – teams that have done it: Michigan, Ohio State, Maryland, and Michigan State.
Maryland's a good one.
Your Pac-12 teams that have done it: Stanford, Cal, and UCLA.
Yeah, never would have known Cal.
Syracuse in the ACC, Florida, and can you think of the other SEC school that's won a title in basketball and football?
At basketball and football, yeah, I can think of it. I'm going to say Tennessee.
No.
Kentucky.
Never won an ambassador. No. Kentucky's never won a football national championship.
Arkansas. No.
Yes.
Is it Arkansas? It
the
is
Halls.
Arkansas. Yeah, Arkansas. That's right. Arkansas Razorbacks won it in 95 in basketball. And I'm sure at some point in the past, Frank Broyles won it in football. Okay, well, that's a good question.
That's a trivia question you can take down to your local pub there.
I'll tell you, the local pub, I will take that to the local pub. Cal surprised me. I would never have guessed California. But, I got 4 off the top of my head. Listen, QB, I'm looking at this football season, and I'm seeing teams this year, And remember, last year was very difficult for everybody. It was a kind of an asterisk year for most teams because they didn't get to play full schedules. But there are more 3-0 teams right now that started off terribly last year than I can remember in any given season, where a team that's lost 5 games, 6 games the year before has jumped out to a 3-0 start. I'll give you a couple just to see if you can add some to this list. Michigan State is 3-0. Penn State is 3-0. Terrible teams last year. San Diego State is 3-0 with 2 Pac-12 wins. Kentucky is 3-0. Wake is 3-0. Boston College is 3-0. Utah State is 3-0. Baylor, Maryland, Wyoming, Rutgers, Michigan, who plays Saturday, and Texas Tech. These are all 3-0 teams, QB. What about that? I think that's awesome.
Good. That's awesome stuff. Speaking of BC, did you see Eli Drinkwitz's comments about playing BC this week? You got to pull up his little press conference. It's all over Twitter. He basically went on and said, you know, it's great we're going to play BC, but I'd much be rather be playing a regional rivalry type game. Yeah. He goes, because I don't know when the last time we ever went to the state of Massachusetts and signed a kid.
That's a great point. You know, they did come out with the now you talk about more regional type games. You know, the schedule for 2022 is now out, QB. Did you see any of that?
Yeah, we open up with the Utes here.
You have Utah coming in to Gainesville. And
They're going to die of heat exhaustion.
That did happen a long, long time ago, way, way back, I think, in the 80s when Utah came here. Maybe it's been in the 70s, but they have been here before. But Utah, because you look at that and you go, wow, these schools probably haven't ever played before. Yeah, Utah has been here before. But Texas is going to host Alabama in the second week of the season. You're going to see Missouri playing at Kansas State. So that, you know, that's, you know, we're getting into geography now, which is very important in our world. But how about Alabama and Texas in the second week of the season? And, you know, QB, that's why I don't think you're going to see Texas and Oklahoma in this conference until 24 or 25 at the earliest, because the schedules are just, I don't know how you change them once they're set.
It didn't take them long to put it together last year during COVID.
Well, COVID was an anomaly. Anomalous
right,
year.
But all they got to do is just throw them all out, and then let's start with 16 teams. Well,
but your quote was, and you were adamant, that Texas and OU would be here next year, and that's just not going to happen, QB. I'm sorry. And Texas is going to play Alabama in Austin next year in the second week of the season and then compete in the Big 12. But I think that I think you got some really interesting games. I don't have it in front of me. I was watching it. I was trying to remember, you know, what games looked really cool next year. But you got your typical, you know, upper level, lower level type games that fill all these 12 game schedules. But you really do have some interesting games and some intersectional games, interconference games. So
what was interesting to me, and I don't have it in front of me too, but I'm pretty sure I saw this correctly. Florida plays at home in Gainesville 6 of the first 7 weeks.
Then they play on the road, I think, 5 out of the last 6 weeks at the end.
Yeah, I mean, we got like 6 of the first 7 games are at home. It's crazy.
And then the next game is in Jacksonville. So in the state of Florida, the Gators are playing the first 7 weeks in Florida. Well, not in Florida, but there's one road game. You go to Tennessee. You go to Tennessee. That's the only trip Florida takes outside the state of Florida until through the month of October, because Georgia game is always in the last weekend of October, my birthday weekend, and that's in Jacksonville. The Gators will then play on the road out of the state, or not out of the state, but on the road outside of the swamp, I think 5 out of the last 6 weeks. But they start the year, 6 out of 7 at home, and 1 at Tennessee, 1 at Jacksonville.
Jeff says on Facebook Live, brought to you by Melton Law, Wes Chandler single-handedly beat Utah in 1977, a homecoming game.
I was at that game. I mean, I knew it was in the 70s. Okay, there you have it. Yeah, didn't ever know why they would play Utah, but the Utes came in here, and Wes Chandler was the best, man. He was unbelievable.
We got people chiming in with the schedule. Yeah. Dan says, we got an LSU-Georgia A&M stretch. Ooh, that's rough.
That is rough.
And he said, John says, after next year, Florida will have traveled to College Station 3 times.
I know.
And Georgia has yet to bend A&M.
It's crazy why the Gators always go to Texas A&M. Why doesn't Texas A&M come here? Now, maybe
– yeah, that would be great to have all those the 12th Aggies, man, and all those guys here.
Oh, they bring the army down there, and they do their marching on the field. It's really kind of cool, and they wave their – I mean, they have a lot of funny traditions at Texas A&M. It's a great school, man. But Florida does seem to always have to play at Texas A&M, and Georgia never does. And so that's – you know, Georgia's going to Mississippi State for the first time in 11 or 12 years as well. They haven't had to go there often. And it's a function of the 8-game SEC schedule. But the reality is that that's going to change here soon. And we are going to see some really interesting games between conferences as they mix up these games and they play different teams from different leagues. And I think it's awesome. And, I just look forward to seeing new schools coming and going. And yeah, the Gators have a very curious schedule. The way it works out, where all the home games are at the beginning and all the road games seem to be at the end, is different. Yeah,
very strange.
Yeah, it's different. Yeah.
If you got joint pain in your knees, shoulders, hip, or back that won't go away, you need to check out QC Kinetics for long-lasting relief. No surgery, drugs, or downtime. Schedule your free consultation at QC Kinetics. Give them a call, 352-400-4550. Speaking with JC, we'll be joined, as I said earlier, by Jimmy Himes, long-time guy covering up the big orange Tennessee football. You know, I love playing Tennessee, Jason, because I know a lot of Gator fans. I love Rocky Top. I just think not like I played at home. I just when you hear it, you think of great SEC football. You know, the fans are gonna come down here with the checkered overalls on and Smokey will be here.
It's just really shocking to me how non-competitive they've been for so long. I mean, that's an administration that just didn't know who to hire. Now, I think they had the right guy a long time ago with Lane Kiffin, but when that USC job came up, he was gonzo. And there were a lot of reasons for that. But Tennessee, I thought, would have been a lot better off had Lane stuck around, because I do think Lane's a good coach. He didn't succeed at USC for a variety of reasons.
I was trying to think of this the other day. What was his record at SC?
Off the top of my head, I don't remember, but they were not happy with it, and things didn't go well. And, you know, I just think that it surprises me somewhat, because he could have drafted players in California to play there. And, you know, you talk about some schools who go recruit, other schools just basically draft. And you know, in Southern Cal, I can't imagine why he wasn't more successful. And it just didn't work out, but we see what kind of coach he is. You know, he went through the Nick Saban school of reclamation, and so many coaches have, and now here he is winning football games. But Tennessee just hasn't, back to my original point, Tennessee hasn't been able to figure out, you know, who could win there and why couldn't they win there. Tennessee, to me, should be a program that is as competitive as Florida or any of the other ones, because they've gotten a history of winning football. But it's been so long for them now, people have forgotten. It's kind of like what Buddy said yesterday about how Alabama fans have forgotten Florida. You know, they forgot about Florida Field and playing in the Gators, because 10 years ago when Alabama played at Florida Field, it was an easy game. And, you know, when you win eight times in a row, well, golly gee, it's not really going to be at the top of our mind in terms of rivalry games. But I think it's come back now with the last two games they've played against Florida being so close. And so I certainly think Alabama fans have a different take on the University of Florida right now. But again, Tennessee has not been thought of as a rival for Florida fans here recently, because Tennessee doesn't beat them. Now, I think Tennessee beat them. They beat the Gators in one of these games here. Oh, they beat the Gators in 2016. So in 2016, that was the last time Tennessee beat the Gators. They won 38-28. But before and after that one year, Tennessee hadn't touched Florida. They can't touch them. They haven't beaten them at all. And, you know, Florida's just killed this team. Tennessee is – and by the way, just some facts for you there on SEC openers for Tennessee. They're 2-14. They did beat South Carolina last year. But they had a lot of turnovers last year against Florida. They were outgained 441-239. The Gators won the game 34-3. Florida fans don't think of Tennessee as a big deal. It's just not a big deal. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, but, you know, Tennessee did win a bunch of games against Alabama back in the day. Peyton was 4-0 against your team. He was 0-4 against us. I just had to throw that out there.
When I was at school there in the 80s, we lost all 4 years to Tennessee. Andy Kelly.
What's crazy is, JC, why you love to, walk around with all your Alabama jerseys and stuff on is because Alabama sucked when you were in school.
They did. We lost to Boston College and Doug Flutie. I watched Emmett Smith, whoever the hell that guy was, run all over us. I mean, it was embarrassing. I think we even lost to Penn State once, but we lost to Southern Miss, a guy named Reggie Collier. Yeah, I don't know if you remember Reggie Collier.
Yes, I do.
We lost to Vanderbilt just like Florida did at homecoming 1 year. We lost to Vanderbilt at homecoming at the University of Alabama. It was a miserable time to be a fan, and not until Bobby Humphrey showed up did this school turn it around. But even then, it couldn't beat Auburn. So, it hasn't always been great. If everything changed in 2007, we all know that. And in 1992, that was a special team that you played against with Gene Stallings as a coach and one of the best defenses ever to play on the field.
Facebook Live brought to you by Mountain Law, J.J.
And you still scored three touchdowns on them that day. So,
yeah. How is Tennessee's run defense this year? They're ranked in the top 10 in run defense. They've only played a legitimate one team, Pitt. They've played Bowling Green, who's awful, and they play Tennessee Tech. So we'll see. John says on Facebook Live, CD was talking to Zach Carter on SEC this morning, reminding him how big of a game Tennessee was to all of us old folks. Yeah, these young people have no idea.
No, that's kind of who I'm talking about. But like we said earlier in this podcast in the 90s, this was the game, man. This was the game. You were singing Rocky Top and hoping to motivate, the Gators, get them ready to go. Phil Fulmer, Steve Spurrier, Danny Werfel, Peyton Manning. My God, this was the game. And it was always seemed to be in the third weekend of September. So it was either raining or it was really hot over there when they played them. Then when you guys went up there, it poured a couple times. I remember seeing the rain just fall. But Florida and Tennessee was the rivalry. But since then, dude, it's been a lopsided one-sided rivalry.
JC, before we let you go, I want to get your thoughts on the NFL through 2 weeks. It's the typical NFL. You look great 1 week, and the next week you lose the team you shouldn't lose to.
I agree. I think the level of consistency is sometimes hard in that league, but I still think you'll see teams that are coached by certain guys that will always be there. I mean, New England, to me, is still going to be a threat to win. Buffalo should win that division. But I think you've got the two best divisions in the Western division of both conferences right now in terms of consistency. It's only two games. Tampa Bay looks to be the real deal. We all knew that would be the case. And, Tom Brady's going to have to be running from Aaron Donald all day long Sunday. And the Rams are going to have to try to figure out a way to stop that monster of a receiving core along with that tight end, and it's not going to be easy. So, Seattle.
Tampa's got problems in their secondary though, man.
And Stafford's going to throw it all day. Cup and Woods, it's going to be probably the most fun game to watch on Sunday will be Tampa and the Rams. But I agree with you. I think, Green Bay, they got kind of back to Green Bay football in the second half on Monday night. That Sunday night game with Kansas City and Baltimore, defense was just an option. It wasn't there either. You could tell that the offenses had the advantage. But QB in football this year, defenses have seemed to really pick it up. I'm speaking mostly in terms of college level. We're seeing slower scoring games. Defenses seem to be doing better.
Really?
I'm just looking at some. Well, just look at the scores in the first 3 weeks of some of these games and look at the numbers. The defenses have played better compared to last season. Now,
I think a lot of it has to do with what quarterbacks are playing. I think has a lot to do with it.
Well, it could be. I mean, Clemson and Georgia, exceptional defenses. But Ohio State, where's their defense gone? Michigan State's playing better defense now. Mel Tucker. I just think I see a little bit more of a balance in the way these games are played than in the past. But we still have our big scoring games. There's no doubt about it.
James says on Facebook Live, I remember when Tennessee fans showed up in Gainesville on Wednesdays of game week, tailgating on the street corners, blasting Rocky Top for days.
Yeah.
Those were the good old days.
And LSU fans used to do that too. I'll tell you what, speaking of LSU, just before I go here, dude, they They have a big one coming up. They have a couple of big games coming up, LSU does. And LSU has Auburn at home on October 2nd, Kentucky on the road October 9th, and then Florida comes to town. This is where Ed Orgeron is either going to keep his job or not. And as far as Mississippi goes, everybody is getting on that bandwagon right now. So, QB, I want you to know that I was the first one to get on that bandwagon on this show because of Lane Kiffin and Matt Corral.
Well, somehow you knew they had some
defense,
some good defensive players.
I didn't. Know
time
that.
Will tell. I still don't understand why Southern California are complete idiots if they don't offer him the job.
Well, again, they could. It's a new administration, new athletic director, but I don't see it. I mean, what's that guy's name? It doesn't matter. I don't see Southern Cal giving them the job. I think you might want to look at, he's the same guy that hired Luke Fickell at Cincinnati, this AD. So, and that's a defensive coach, right? But look at what Cincinnati's done here the last couple
of years. Luke Fickell's
in that. Yeah, they have done a good job. So he hired Luke Fickell, and that's, these ADs tend to bring their guys. That's
right.
Danny White brought Josh Heupel. So,
yeah. All right, JC, good stuff. We'll talk to you on Friday. Okay. Get ready for the Ryder Cup.
Well, yeah, we're going to do our picks Friday, I guess, right?
Yes, the Peachland Dentistry Weekend Picks on Friday. We'll talk to you soon, my man.
We do. Okay.
All right, we're going to take our first time out of the pro, come back. We're going to be joined, talking a little Tennessee football, Jimmy Himes up in Knoxville, Tennessee. You're watching and listening to Pot Up with Matthews in the morning.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, won't back down. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. QC Kinetics, live pain-free with QC Kinetics. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Our Gridiron sponsors are Auto ER, UF Bookstores, Celebration Point Town Center, South State Bank, Chris Doring Mortgage, Silverback Concrete Co. Some of our touchdown sponsors are MB Listing, Cornerstone Financial, McDonald's of Gainesville, My IT Masters, Gainesville Neon and Signs, 84 Lumber, Tropical Smoothie Cafe, Avera and Smith, Dowling Signs, Baker's Sporting Goods, Ruse Ogra Agent, State Farm Insurance, Silver Q Billiards and Sports Bar. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, visit potupwithshane.com and click the advertise button. Again, thank you to all the great businesses that support the show. If you like what we are doing here, make sure you follow us and support the businesses that support us.
Visor's Tailgate and Rooftop Bar, located on top of Spurrier's Gridiron Grill in Celebration Point, is now open Thursday through Saturday. Visor's covered open-air bar is the perfect place to gather after work or meet up with friends. You'll love the handcrafted cocktails and elevated shareables available every Thursday through Saturday. Visor's Tailgate and Rooftop Bar is perfect for fans of great food, great drinks, and great weather. Visor's not required. High spirits are highly encouraged. Visit spurriers.com/visors.
Welcome back to the Crime Prevention Security System Studio, Celebration Points, where the Gators go to celebrate with premium brands like Nike, Bass Pro Shops, Regal Cinemas, Le Macaron French Pastries, Dave & Buster's, Palmetto Moon, and the HBC's new restaurant, Spurrier's Gridiron Grill. Make your reservations today at spurriers.com, and also Visors is now open Thursday through Saturday, the Rooftop Bar. We're now going to go to the Titan MRI Hotline. We're going to head up to Knoxville, Tennessee, and we're going to be joined by a longtime sports writer, sports talk host, Jimmy Himes, covering the Tennessee Vols. Good morning, Jimmy. How are you?
Good morning. I'm not used to hearing crime prevention and Steve Spurrier in the same sentence.
Yeah. He's got a new restaurant here, Jimmy. It's quite an establishment. It's basically a museum. He's got a bunch of Johnson City, Tennessee stuff up in there. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I bet. And I've heard nice things about Visors.
Yeah, Visors is really cool. Well, Jimmy, let's look at the Tennessee Vols. They're 2-1. They played really one game. Pitt came in there, and it was kind of a track meet. The other two games, Bowling Green and Tennessee Tech, weren't much of a challenge. What have you seen? Is this team better than what you saw last year through three games?
Yeah, this is a better team. It's better on defense. That's a primary thing. If you look at the run defense, and I realize the competition had been great, but they're giving up less than 55 yards a game rushing, and they're giving up less than 2 yards per carry. That's pretty good, even if you have played weaker opponents. So the run defense is much better. Rodney Garner's done a really good job with that group. I think the secondary is better. They had 4 interceptions in the Tennessee Tech game. So defense overall is better. Offensively, they're a little bit better, but they're still not where they need to be. I think Josh Heupel's a really good offensive mind. They got to figure out the quarterback situation. I think it's going to be Hendon Hooker. He has looked to be the more efficient, the more effective quarterback for Tennessee over Joe Milton. Milton's got the big arm. He's athletic, but he's not very accurate, and he keeps missing long balls. And Tennessee has consistently missed opportunities to hit big plays. But offensively, they're better. Defensively, they're better. They play harder. This is a better coached football team, but they're still not at the level that Tennessee would like to get to.
Yeah, you know, after I think they had that Thursday night game against Bowling Green, and I'd seen Joe Milton play at Michigan a little bit. I'm like, this guy is not the right fit for what Josh Heupel wants to do. And, you know, obviously he was injured, I believe, but I think Hendon Hooker fits his system a lot better. Do the fans – I was trying to think of this, Jimmy. How many coaches has Tennessee gone through since Phil Fulmer?
5, I think.
Wow.
I'm going to have to sit back and count them. It might be 6. There's Kiffin, Dooley, Jones, Pruitt, and now Josh Heupel. 5.
Okay. They were all fired except Lane decided to take the SEC Southern California job. What is the fan base? Are they excited about Josh Heupel?
There's mix. There's some fans that it doesn't matter who you hire, they're going to be excited about it. Then you got your certain group of fans that have taken the wait-and-see approach. Look, I've been through this before. I've heard all these great things about these previous coaches. I want him to prove to me that he can get the job done. So there's a little bit of that wait and see crowd out there. So there's a bit of a mix in regard to that, Shane. I do think Heupel's a really good offensive mind. I think he's put together a pretty good staff. The whole key to me is whether or not he can recruit in the SEC at a high enough level to beat the elite teams. First off, they got to beat the mediocre teams in the league, right? But I think that's going to be his biggest challenge is to recruit well enough to get back into there where you're a top 25 team. If you're a top 25 team, you got a whole lot better chance to beat the Floridas and Georgias of the world. If you're the 50th best team in the country, you really don't have much of a chance. So they have got to incrementally climb up that ladder and become a top 25 team.
Yeah, that's a good point. When you talk about recruiting kind of has changed in the last year or so with the transfer portal. Mm-hmm. Did Tennessee add a bunch of guys to their roster this year from the transfer portal?
Yeah, they added about 10. Now, from the previous portal, they added Hendon Hooker. But Joe Milton and the kicker from Southern Cal, there's a defensive lineman from Southern Cal, there's a linebacker from Michigan, a linebacker from Texas. They added about 10 to the transfer portal. Now, the stunning number, though, that I'll tell you is that Tennessee lost, since the start of last year, 38 players to the transfer portal.
Wow.
They lost 2 players that retired from football due to injury, and they lost 4 players that they let out of the national letter of intent. Shane, that's 44 players.
Whoa.
That's hard, hard to make up for that. And a lot of them have gone to, like, one's starting linebacker at Alabama, one's a starting running back at Oklahoma. One's a starting linebacker at Michigan State. There's Central Florida, Brandon Johnson. There's some good players out there that left. Now, to counter that, Tennessee signed 10 in the transfer portal. They signed 20 that came in. Then they have like 7 super seniors. So the roster, I know that Tennessee has said 71. The roster's at 78 scholarship players, 78. That's not that far down. But my goodness, when you lose 44 players – for a variety of reasons, that's tough on your roster. It's tough on your starting lineup, and certainly it's tough on your depth.
Yeah, that is a ton of players. You talked about Tennessee having a really good run defense through 3 games. When the Gator fans watch this Tennessee defense, who might stand out to them?
Matthew Butler. He's a 6th-year senior, a really solid player. He debated whether or not to come back another year. And he did, and I think Rodney Garner's gotten a lot out of him. He has been their best and most consistent defensive lineman. There's another guy that's pretty good up front. His name is Tyler Barron. He plays some outside linebacker, some defensive end, but he'll put his hand on the ground. There's also a guy that was their best pass rusher in the spring and in preseason camp, but he was ineligible the first two games for academic reasons. Byron Young, he played against Tennessee Tech. He had six tackles. He did not show the explosiveness that I saw in practice. Maybe he'll show that against Florida, but he was their best pass rusher during camp. So those would be three of the better defensive linemen you'll see.
When you look at Tennessee's offense, I got to think the fan base, Jimmy, has to be somewhat excited because it's an offensive-minded head coach. Mm-hmm. They're going 100 miles an hour. You know, I go back to the Pruitt, watching them on offense was like watching paint dry. Mm-hmm. Are the fans, are they excited about this fast-paced offense?
Yes, absolutely. And you give them something to cheer about because they are going to score some points. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to score a whole lot against Florida and Alabama and Georgia, but against pretty much everybody else, they're going to put some points on the board. One of the things, though, that sort of excites them is kind of a tease. Tennessee gets wide receivers open. They have had a ton of people open deep. They've had people open over the middle of the field. And the quarterbacks have not been that accurate, in particular Joe Milton. But what you see is a scheme that gets these guys open. You just got to have a guy that hits them. Now, Milton typically overthrows him. He's got a cannon for an arm. That doesn't do you. Look, I'd rather have Danny Werfel's arm and have accuracy than a cannon for an arm and you can't hit anybody. Exactly. So that's been a concern. Hooker, to me, is the more accurate passer, and he is also a much better runner. But I think that the fans see the potential of this offense. If they can get on the right page, if they can hit these open receivers and see the receivers when they're open, there's a potential for this offense to be a lot better.
Chris Doering Mortgage, they do mortgage lending right, helping home buyers throughout Gainesville and North Central Florida. Call Chris Doering Mortgage today at 352-244-0840. A few more minutes here with Jimmy Hines up in Knoxville, Tennessee. I got a text for you on our Titan MR text line, Jimmy. It comes from Larry. Larry wants to know, Jimmy, what is your favorite Florida-Tennessee game?
Wow. The favorite Florida-Tennessee game would probably be in 2001. That was a game that was moved to December due to 9-1-1, and Florida was favored by about 18 points against an outstanding Tennessee team. But Florida was outstanding, too. And Travis Stevens, a running back that had been overlooked, 5'9" running back that a lot of people didn't think could play at this level, gained about 220 yards in that game. And then Tennessee built a lead. Florida came back. Tennessee had to negate a two-point conversion at the end. I thought that was just a fantastic football game, very exciting game, a lot of scoring. And it put Tennessee in position to play for a national championship. If they had won against LSU in the SEC championship game, they would have played Miami in the Rose Bowl for the national title. Instead, they stubbed their toe. But that was a great Florida team, too. I thought it was one of the better teams that Steve Spurrier had. And I think that game really frustrated him because I think he knew how good his team was. And he felt like they might have had the potential to win a national championship.
Yeah, that game haunts him to this day, you know, because – I want to say if it had been played on 9/11, Tennessee had a couple of their really good players. I don't know if they were out on defense or offense, but they came back for that game. And, yeah, they didn't play real well that day. I want to get your thoughts because, you know, in the 90s, this was the game, third week of the season, and whoever won it usually won the SEC. I guess all that changed once Phil Fulmer left, right, and Spurrier. I know Urban came along one. But there was never a rivalry. Isn't that kind of strange how it's just kind of gone away and Florida's dominated it?
Well, yeah, and that's because Tennessee has not held up its end of the deal. Tennessee was I think there were two programs in the country that won more games than Tennessee in the 1990s. And then under Fulmer, while there was some drop-off, they really were good in 2001. 2004, they played for the SEC championship. 2007, they played for the SEC championship. But he had two losing seasons in a four-year period, and I think the athletic director was just looking to make a change. He wanted to bring his own guy in. That led to the firing of Fulmer and the hiring of Lane Kiffin, and Tennessee's program has not been the same since. They've had eight losing seasons in the last 13 years. They've not been very competitive. They lost 15 of 16 to Florida. They have lost every game to Alabama since 2006. That's the last Tennessee win in that series. And all but two of the Alabama games have been blowouts. So this program is not where it needs to be. And part of it is they've not hired the right coach. And part of it is they've not recruited at the highest level. Now, even through all of these coaching changes, their average recruiting ranking is about 15. That hasn't translated to being the 15th best team in the country. But the recruiting has not dropped off completely. It's dropped off some. They used to be top five or in that range in recruiting. But I think the combination of not recruiting as many elite players and not hiring the right coach, that is what has led to the downfall of this football program.
I got a text here on the Titan of our text. That's an interesting one from John. He says, Jimmy, was there ever any talk or any talk still of Tennessee trying to hire Peyton Manning as their head coach?
Only among the fan base. Peyton Manning put that to rest early. He said he doesn't want to coach. He said, why in the world would I have this kind of following of the fans and then have 50% of them pulling against me because I made a bad call or I lost a game to Florida or Alabama or Georgia? Why in the world would I put myself in that position? Peyton Manning will never coach unless he coaches his 10-year-old son in youth football. He will not get in that arena. He understands the negatives to being a coach and how you're going to tick off a lot of people unless you win every game, and you're not going to win every game. So there's no way he's going to be Tennessee's coach, or in my opinion, a coach at a level above perhaps high school where he might coach his son.
Yeah. I want to get your thoughts before we let you go. SEC, obviously you've been covering this league for a long, long time. Your thoughts on Texas and OU coming in?
I may be in the minority. I'm not a fan of it. I see a lot of disruption happening. And look, is it good for the SEC to get Oklahoma and Texas in? Probably. Now you got an issue. I don't like the idea that you might not play a team for 8 years or whatever. So I want to see – I have a proposal that I'll throw out there. But what you've done is you've ruined the Big 12. You've created all this chaos with other conferences. I thought it was okay the way it was. And I also think this is going to lead to even more coaches in the SEC being fired because Texas and Oklahoma are pretty darn good, right? So these teams like Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Tennessee, Missouri, now they fall even further down the pecking order in terms of where they rank in the SEC. I would like to see them go to two divisions of eight teams, and then you play nine games. So you got seven games within your division. You play two crossover games, and so you got two this year and no permanence. Two this year, two the next year. Over a four-year period, you play everybody in the other division. That's what I'd like to see him do, but I'm not a fan of it. I think it's too cumbersome, and I know it's done for money. I know it's done for football, but the volleyball team at Florida has to travel to Oklahoma, right, or Texas. You've got all this travel and all these other sports that I think are, in my opinion, disrupted a little bit. So I'm not a fan of it. I do understand the money value of it, but I wish they had stayed at 14.
Yeah. Last question here. It's a good one, too. John says on Facebook Live, was John Gruden ever close to being the Tennessee head coach?
Yes. Tennessee, there were two different times that he was pursued. But the main one was a few years ago. I'm trying to remember if it was when they hired Butch Jones. I think it was. I was told by a Board of Trustees member that they had hired Gruden, and they either offered him a five-year contract at $30 million or a six-year contract at $30 million, whatever it was. And by the way, that was big money back then. It's not now, but that back then, that was some money. And he didn't do it, and I was aware and had reported repeatedly he wasn't going to take the job. First off, he did not know at that time there was a 20-hour rule, and then he was told about recruiting restrictions, and then he was told about all the boosters you got to placate, and he was like, I don't want any of that. And so he had told some people I knew that he wasn't getting into it, but Tennessee did pursue him. They did offer him, and he said no. And so, but there is a narrative that Tennessee's always gone cheap on coaches. That's not true. They have just paid the market value for the coach they hired. They were ready to pay Gruden big money. They went after Mike Gundy, and they were willing to pay him $7 million a year, but he said no. They went after Dan Mullen, and Mullen slow played him until he got the Florida job. But Tennessee was the first to go after Mullen. And Florida was pursuing, what, Chip Kelly and maybe Scott Frost. And when they didn't get him, they hired Dan Mullen, who I think is a heck of a coach. So Tennessee's been willing to spend the money. They just haven't been able to hire the right guy. But, yes, Gruden was in the equation. The more recent search, he was not. They did not pursue him when they hired Jeremy Pruitt.
What's Tennessee got to do to win in the Swamp on Saturday?
Several things. I mentioned to you about having open receivers. They've got to hit those. They've got to hit a lot of big play, splash plays. The other thing is, and I'm really impressed with Florida's run game. They had 245 against Alabama. This is going to sound like a ridiculous number, but I think Tennessee's got to hold them to somewhere around 175. They've got to do that. I think Tennessee has to win the turnover ratio by at least two or three to give them a chance to win this football game. The other thing is, I think Tennessee's got to get a lead. Now, Alabama had the lead, right? And Florida came back. But here's the difference to me. If Tennessee gets the lead, then they get confidence. And then maybe Florida is doubting itself a little bit. And maybe there's this Alabama letdown that a lot of teams have. So maybe it's like, oh, wait, we're down to Tennessee, 10 to nothing. Oh, what's going on here? I think those are the key things for Tennessee. Now, am I picking Tennessee to win the game? No, I'm not. That's a lot that has to happen for Tennessee to win it. But I think those things have to happen for the Vols to have a chance.
Good stuff, Jimmy. Let everybody know how they can listen to you up in Knoxville.
Well, you can find us on iHeartRadio, 990 AM, 99.1 FM. And also, we do write a blog, and you can follow our blogs on 991 The Sports Animal. So you can follow us there as well.
Good stuff, my man. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Shane. Appreciate it. Thanks for having us.
Yep, that's Jimmy Hines. Join us on the Titan Memorial Hotline up in Knoxville, Tennessee. Going to take our final timeout, wrap up this Wednesday edition.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, won't back down. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. QC Kinetics, live pain-free with QC Kinetics. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Our Gridiron sponsors are Auto ER, UF Bookstores, Celebration Point Town Center, South State Bank, Chris Doring Mortgage, Silverback Concrete Co. Some of our touchdown sponsors are Campus USA Credit Union, Adams Rib Company, Doreen Wiebe Realtor, Caldwell Banker, M.M. Parrish, Gator Dominoes, Celebrate Primary Care, Gator Bait Media, Rap Spot, Okito America, Gator's Dockside, Style Cuts, Big Mills Cheesesteaks. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, visit potupwithshane.com and click the advertise button. Again, thank you to all the great businesses that support the show. If you like what we are doing here, make sure you follow us and support the businesses that support us.
Welcome back to the Crime Prevention Security System Studios at Comfort Temp. Comfort is our business. Peace of mind is our promise. Comfort Temp is now hiring team members. Great culture, $1,000 signing bonus. Give Comfort Temp a call, 352-376-2366. This day in sports, 1991, Miami Dolphins coach Don Shula records his 300th career NFL victory. That's brought to you by our good friends at Comfort Temp. We want to thank JC for joining us on the Titan MR Hotline, as well as Jimmy Hines from up in the Sports Animal up in Knoxville, Tennessee. Does a tremendous job and has been covering the Big Orange for a long, long time. Make sure you tune in tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll have Brent Beard, our college football analyst, get his thoughts, go around the SEC and the landscape of college football for week number four. And then we'll also have our Baker Sporting Goods High School Roundup. Today's show is a wrap, brought to you by Rap Spot. Be safe out there, folks. We'll see you tomorrow.